I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP. Radio.
High five.
Hello, my fellow DDP yoga warriors. It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. We are broadcasting here from the penthouse suite of the DDP Radio Megaplex right here in beautiful Parts Unknown, USA. My name is Mike Mullins. As you can, you can probably find me over at Mikey90%.com. Usually sending Robert annoying little messages to make his day a little bit less enjoyable. Perfectly. But anyways, Mike90%.com, hit me up, say hello, we can be friends. And as always, I am being joined by the articulate, the inspiring, and the incredibly patient for having to babysit Robert and I every Wednesday night. The saint-like Stacey Morris is on the show. Stacey actually went out to go check out the moon because apparently it's a beautiful moon where she is. So she's going
to
be
tonight, but I can't see it from where my house is, so I'll have to wait a little bit.
Okay, well, Stacey is back with us. She wanted to go view the moon, and if anyone else wants to view a moon, you can ask the people that were behind me at Target today when I dropped my credit card on the floor, and it's a hell of a moon for you right there.
I actually heard about that on the news. A young girl was blinded, I believe.
There's lots of therapy ahead for that poor girl, but I think she's going to be quite all right. And, of course, joining us, as always, he is the Huey Lewis to my Kurt Cobain. He is the one and only, thank Christ, Robert McLaren. Hello, Robert.
What the hell does that even mean?
Huey Lewis is like the corporate, pretty boy rock and roll guy, and I'm like the legit badass grungy Kurt Cobain, the more prolific, artistic, and just a better human being overall.
Wow, you need a little bit of a musical education on that one. My God.
I probably shouldn't go here, but, being Huey Lewis isn't all that bad because I've heard, like, it's legendary in the rock and roll circles that Huey Lewis is anatomically evolved situation. Uh-huh. Is legendary in the rock and roll circles. So, you got something.
I don't know. We obviously hang out in different circles, so I haven't heard that.
Yes. Huey Lewis is like legendary in like the rock and roll scene for like the stories of the women have passed on to people of his legendary stature below the waist.
I was just going to talk about his music. I don't know what I was thinking.
Anyways, this show has gone to hell in a handbasket really quick.
Yeah, let's.
So we're going to move on from.
I'm sorry, Stacey. I'm sorry.
We're going to move on from Mike's S and Huey Lewis's business and get into the topic at hand, DDP Yoga and DDP Radio, before the FCC comes in and kicks us off the internet, which I don't even think is even possible, but they could possibly find a way.
That's not really a thing.
Yeah. But anyways, it's going to be a fun show tonight. We're in a goofy mood, obviously, because, anytime you put Robert and I together, we're going to need some supervision. So Stacey Morris is here to keep things under control and keep us on task. She's probably the most responsible one in the show to be in charge of that.
No, Stacey's not the most responsible. She's the only responsible one.
My mother's superior. I've got my ruler right here.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Your knuckles.
Jesus, she is a saint for this. There is no a paycheck large enough to deal with this every Wednesday night. But it's going to be a fun show. And real quick, I wanted to go over the upcoming events. We got all kinds of cool stuff going on. And we're still in the middle of the Jake the Snake Roberts theatrical tour, featuring the movie The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, and some big, big news coming out of that film. You know, the Academy Awards every year nominates the people eligible to be nominated for the Academy Award in the documentary film section. And they get so many submissions every year, thousands and thousands and thousands of submissions. And, you know, a lot of them aren't eligible for nomination. But DDP Yoga and Steve Yu and the whole crew and Diamond Dallas Page and Jake Roberts and everybody who worked on this film just got word that we're made the cut of about 120 films that are going to be eligible for nomination of the Academy Award. And even if it doesn't even go any farther than that, the fact that the cut was made and we kind of made it under the cut, and everyone who worked on this film, I think at the inception of it, nobody dreamed that this could even be, you know, remotely a possibility, let alone, you know, reality.
Yeah, I think that was one of the goals, but you know how Dallas sets attainable goals, and then he sets goals that are, like, way out there, let's just shoot for the moon kind of thing.
Well,
and I think that was one of those goals.
Exactly, but you have to understand that unattainable goals in anyone else's hands, Dallas finds a way to make them attainable. Unlike anybody else I've ever seen, we've talked about this before, you know, many people's far reach Hail Mary, you know, wish. Dallas sets his sight on stuff like that, and he dreams big, but he has this way of making these huge, outlandish Hail Mary pass dreams into reality like nobody I've ever seen before.
Absolutely.
So congrats to everybody on that. And if you want to get a local screening of Jake the Snake Roberts, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake movie, it's touring the cinemas right now throughout the country. They're doing screenings along with Q&As and all kinds of cool stuff. And for more information on all the dates coming up there, hit up jakethesnakemovie.com. And it's an amazing piece of work. It's an amazing piece of art. And it's a phenomenal, inspirational, and very gut-wrenching and soul-touching flick. So you definitely want to check that out if you were a fan of wrestling, or if you've never even seen wrestling, or if you despise wrestling. There is something that will speak to every single viewer who sees that movie. And DDP Yoga workshops also are going to be rolling along. There's a lot of cool stuff going on. And we talked about it last week. We made the announcement on DDP Radio that DDP Yoga has announced a Survivor Series Ultimate Workshop. And we gave you the lowdown last week. What makes it an Ultimate Workshop other than just a workshop? Well, DDP Yoga's Ultimate Workshops are at his own building, the Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia, November 21st. And it's a jam-packed day. It's not just a workout and you roll. 11 a.m., you start off with a workout. Then 2 to 4, he brings you into the kitchen at the DDP Yoga Performance Center. They're going to do a meal prep and a question and answer session. You're going to eat some good food, healthy food, gluten-free food, but still delicious. And then the ultimate bonus, and this is a huge deal. We talked about the Jake the Snake Roberts Q&A. How would you like to watch that movie live in Dallas's and Jake's backyard, the Performance Center? They're going to be doing a screening of The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, along with a Q&A where you can ask the director, the crew, Dallas, Jake, anybody, any questions you like about the flick, and it's going to be a great time. He doesn't do these very often. It's been a while since the last one, so you want to get yourself down to the DDP Yoga Survivor Series Ultimate Workshop at the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia, November 21st, 11 a.m. start time. Get them before they sell out, because Robert was telling me last week that it's selling really good, and I'm sure it's going to sell out fairly quickly. I'm guessing, Robert.
Yeah, and I sent you a little Skype now. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the date has actually changed to December 5th.
Okay, I didn't know I could get Skype notes. Good to know.
Yes.
So December 5th, not November 21st. So push back a couple weeks, gives you a little bit more time to plan, find a sitter, find a hotel, get your ass to Smyrna, and work out with the man himself for the DDP Yoga Survivor Series Ultimate Workshop, December 5th, right?
December 5th,
all
yes.
Right. Just in time for the holidays, too. So maybe a loved one in your family, you know, knows you're a big DDP Yoga head, maybe knows your passion for all things DDP Yoga and wants to hook you up a little trip for Christmas or holidays or New Year's or whatever you may celebrate. Good idea right there. Just putting that in the ear of some people, Katie. Anyways, also we got the Pure Yoga East Coast Double Shot Workshop. It's 2 days, and we've done this at Pure Yoga a couple times before. They're a big proponent of DDP Yoga. January 8th, 2016, January 9th, 2016. NYC is the place to be. DDP Yoga at Pure Yoga. And then we roll over to a couple states over to Newport, Rhode Island for the DDP Yoga Inspiration Meets Perspiration 2 workshop. That is happening January 10th, 2016. We're always adding new workshops and all kinds of good stuff in the DDP Yoga schedule. So just the best thing to do is keep your eyes on ddpyogaworkshops.com or the hub of all things DDP Yoga at ddpyoga.com. That was a mouthful. I want to get into our topic in a few minutes. We get several different things we want to talk about this week on the show, including one I'm going to be pulling from a personal experience and talking about how it's important. You know, you can never be selfish when you're healthy, but my friend Timmy coined the term shelfie, selfishly healthy, because it's okay to put yourself front and center and, you know, care about yourself and make yourself a priority in your life. So we're going to talk about that as well. We're also going to talk about how to get through the Halloween season without polishing off a bucket of fun-sized candy bars. And we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. But before we do, I want to ask Stacey Morris first if she has any appearances coming up. And then I want to talk to her about her latest release. So, Stacey, do you have any appearances coming up for some book signings or speeches or anything?
Well, my next one is December 5th, and that's going to be at Healthy Living Market in Saratoga Springs. Other than that, it's kind of slowing down a little bit right now. But like I said, before, I travel. Chef Bill and I travel. If you want to book us for a lecture, a cooking demo, book signing, whatever, just, you know where to find me.
Awesome. And really exciting news came out this week regarding our very own Stacey Morris and our very own Robert McLaren. You know when someone posts something on Facebook and then, like, so many people share it, so you see, like, all the names that have shared it underneath? I saw this monumental list of shared photos for your new release, Sweet Comfort, the follow-up to your critically and acclaimed by anybody who's healthy and likes to eat Clean Comfort. It's Sweet Comfort. It's a dessert version of Clean Comfort with healthy foods done right. So no guilt, no ridiculously horrible foods. You did this the right way, and it just came out this past week. Tell us about your new project, Stacey.
Yeah, well, not only no guilt, and that's, you know, that's something I took out of the equation a long time ago, but more importantly, no hangover. These are desserts that most of them will sound familiar. They're healthy takes on classics, you know, like honey cake, peanut butter cookie bars. I did chocolate cake in Clean Comfort, but there are some mousses in here. What else? Vegan mint chip pudding. Some flourless cakes, a no-bake dairy-free cheesecake, which is fabulous. So they taste very similar to some of the classics, but with healthier ingredients, so you're not going to be, like I said, hungover. You won't be in a sugar stupor or a chemically induced haze, you know. I don't know about you guys, but like when I used to eat certain sweets that are readily available on the market, you know, they really, not only did they put weight on me, but they would affect my brain function, you know, because the ingredients were so crappy. So I really tried to make these. They're, of course, they're all gluten-free and dairy-free, and they're low sugar. They're not sugar-free, though if you want to take that option, you can, and use stevia or monk fruit. But they're very wholesome. Many of them are higher in fiber, and they have some of them have superfoods. So they will actually nourish you. And there is a spectrum of decadence, you know. I mean, you can't do decadent every day, but sometimes you might want decadent. So I've included things like carrot cake and and a few other things that are more caloric and a little more, you know, just they're not as nutritional as some of the others, but it's up to you to decide, you know, the frequency and how often you want to do decadence. But many of the desserts you can eat and enjoy every day. They're that healthy.
Now, Stacey, I got to bring this up because the show before when your last book came out, a lot of people when they, you know, decide to make healthier changes in their life and kind of, you know, reinvent themselves, their nutrition and their healthy eating and stuff like that, they feel they need to sacrifice. They need to go without and they can never enjoy anything. You're going to be sitting there eating acorns and twigs. But I got to bring this up because the holiday coming up. We got Thanksgiving.
You're cutting hey, out, Mike.
Oh,
now you like hitting a button or something because there's like a clicking and then you're dropping off.
Nope, I didn't. I don't think I hit anything. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're good.
Anyways, we got the holidays coming up. We you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you may celebrate. We have these functions, you know, constant functions in November and December and January. And I got to a point where, you know, I'm proud of the changes I've made and I'm proud to be eating the way that I do. But it gets to a point where it gets exhausting to kind of explain it to every single person that offers you a piece of cake or a piece of pie. I can't, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And it gets tiring. So you can bring one of these recipes or a few of Stacey's recipes, set them on the table, and I guarantee you people won't even question it. They won't even know the difference because they taste delicious, and they, you know, they're just like any other dessert. So you can grab a piece of cake, carrot cake or whatever it is Stacey has in her recipe book and not have to explain to every single person that asks you why you're not partaking in anything.
Yeah, and like I said, some of these recipes are very similar to the real deal. Like on page 32, I have a molasses cake. Basically, that is very similar to traditional gingerbread, which is people love that, especially at Christmas time. You bring that to a party and a little bowl of the coconut whipped cream. Those two things together are amazing. They're simple, they're clean, and they really taste good. So you're right, Mike. It's possible to just not say a word, bring some of these desserts to a function, and just kind of smile as you watch people enjoy them.
Exactly. They're healthier alternatives, and that's all we do. You know, when we change our lives, there's not really anything that I miss to the point where I feel like I'm going without, because I eat such good food, and it's just alterations and finding different ways around things. And that's what Stacey specializes in, Clean Comfort Series, is just finding delicious recipes that you can enjoy. But, you know, finding a different path to get there and a different, you know, checklist of groceries to buy. And, you know, they end up tasting just as good. And I made so many things of Stacey's from her last book, Clean Comfort, that I thought to myself, I'm like, why did I even go that route to begin with if this is such a healthier alternative and tastes just as good? So I definitely recommend you pick up her book, Sweet Comfort, especially for the holiday season. So many things going on, and you won't have to explain to your pushy relatives why you're not eating their banana bread donut, you know, Rice Krispie treat, Lucky Charms bars filled with stuffing and frosting, and then you can just, you know, enjoy that and not have anybody bring it up or question it. Because as much as I am proud of the changes that I've made in my life, you know, it does get exhausting when you go to a party with 40 people and why are you eating this? Why aren't you eating that? You don't got nothing on your plate, and it just makes it a lot easier.
It does, and we'll probably touch on this a little later because we're going to talk about taking care of ourselves, but I don't make any apologies, you know, like I'll just pack protection and go to events with my own stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, people have a problem with that, I don't really care,
mm-hmm.
you know, but also with these desserts and this way of eating, you can pretty much sail through the holiday season, and then come January, you're not going to be way behind the eight ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And I noticed, I mean, this is just a sidebar. When I first went gluten-free.
We're still getting that clicking from you. I think maybe one of your jacks is a little
bit. Yeah, I see one of my jacks is
clicking in my phone now. I got to be careful not to touch it. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was going to say, when I first went gluten-free, I was telling everybody about it. And, oh, gluten-free. And, you know, I'd chew off anyone's ear that would listen. And, you know, despite how proud I am of it and proud of my successes, I read something on Facebook. It was one of those memes. And it said, how do you know when someone's gluten-free? They won't stop talking about it. And I became so self-aware after that. So I try to keep it under the radar now because I don't want to be one of those, like, you know, people who just, like, constantly preach to you about gluten-free. No matter how good it is for you, some people just get exhausted by that. So I'm very self-aware now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it gets, you know, in the beginning, that's normal. People are excited. You're making positive changes and all that. And then you just, it becomes a way of life. And I find, you know, I don't talk about it as much just because, I don't know, it's old. You know, it's old and it's there's nothing really for me to discuss. But, you know, if you're going out, especially during holiday season, so important to either bring something along that everyone can eat or have a few things in your bag, you know, that you can take refuge in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you talked about, you know, getting used to things and then becoming old hands. I found that when I first started DDP Yoga, every workout, I'd Facebook about it, I'd tweet about it, just nonstop, to the point where I have people ask me, did you quit DDP Yoga? I don't hear you talking about it every day anymore. It's like, there's only so many days in a row that I can tweet and Facebook that I had worked out before it starts getting on everybody's nerves. Mm-hmm. So it becomes like, you know, old hat. It becomes part of your life, part of your, you know, your normalcy that you don't feel the need to make an exclamation point about it every day. And if you do, and if you keep track of people, you know, more power to you. That's great. But I'm so used to it. I've been doing it for 4 years now. And if I had Facebooked every single workout that I had done, I'm sure I would have lost a lot of friends just from the repetitiveness alone. So I'm still just as passionate about DDP Yoga as I am. But you're right, Stacey. It becomes part of your life. And it becomes so normal that you don't need to make that a conversation point anymore because it's just part of you. It's what you do now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to get into the topic right now. And I wanted to start off, we kind of planned a little potpourri of things, just making a kind of roadmap just to take us wherever we want to go with this. But one thing I wanted to talk about, and I had messaged Stacey and Robert about this week, is last week Robert and I had done a show. On the Wednesday night, it was a couple weeks ago. It was the week that Stacey wasn't with us. She had an appearance, and I had been up literally 2 days in a row. I get to these things where if I stay up all night, the next night becomes even harder for me to sleep. So I was just really busy, and I was running full blast. I was taking on too much work than I could. I was just so busy, and it was just one of those weeks that was just, you know, it was jam-packed, and I didn't get any sleep for, like, 2 nights. And when you stay up all night, I guess your body works harder because you're not getting that rest you need. So I became incredibly, incredibly dehydrated. To the point where Robert and I did the show, and I kind of, you know, perked up a little bit right before the show. But after that, I went downhill. My face looked like – I looked like a corpse. And I just remember I really kind of, you know, led on to me – when I had, like, horrible, horrible breath. And Katie, I went to give Katie a kiss, and she said, your breath is not right. You smell, like, really sick. Like, it's not just bad breath. You smell, like, horrible, like, sickening. So I realized that I needed to go get checked up. So I went to the hospital. I went to the ER and got myself some IV antibiotics to, you know, get myself hydrated and back on track. And I was really, really bad off, so dehydrated and just I thought I was going to pass out. But it kind of was a really big eye-opener for me that day because I had been living so much to, like, get things done and get work done and take care of everything around me that I didn't take the time to take care of myself. And it really was an eye-opener that if I'm going to get everything else done around me, if I'm going to be a good spouse to Katie, if I'm going to be a good son to my parents, I need to be able to put myself front and center and make sure I'm okay. Because if I'm not around, I'm not going to be able to do anything for anybody. And it really came to a point where I realized And I think so many people deal with this that they're afraid to put themselves front and center because it seems selfish to them, especially when you have kids or a job or a husband or a wife or parents or son. So you need to know that it's okay to make yourself a priority in your life. You make your health a priority, your mental and your physical health.
Yeah, you have to. And it's very easy to let life get in the way. But there are certain things you just have to, I mean, fluids are crucial, as you found out, Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something I just kind of, I don't know, I enjoy clean liquids, and it's not a problem for me. But maybe, I know it works for some people to have like a large bottle, 32 ounces, and go through that a couple times a day. That way you know you have a measuring tool. And it's there, and you know what you need to do.
That's a thing. I mean, I crank water like no one I know. I have a 24-ounce DDP Radio water bottle and a Mikey 90% water bottle, 24-ounce that I carry around with me because I go through them so quick that I'm going to run through one of them and just grab the next one. But everyone who knows me knows that I don't go anywhere without my water bottle. And it was just one of those days where I was just so consumed with getting stuff done and getting things to work that I just neglected drinking. And I think the fact that I'm so used to drinking, my body kind of shut down even more because it's like, wait, where's all this fluid that I need?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a huge wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't think you're gonna do that again, right? Wasn't
no.
that a big scare?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've made a point to make sure I'm getting more sleep. I've started taking melatonin when I really need it. If I really can't get some sleep, I'm making points where I get to bed early because, I mean, my whole life, I'm an anomaly when it comes to sleep. I can survive with very little sleep. I usually get about 3 hours a night. And I'm not,
that would kill me.
Yeah. But I'm not tired. I'm energetic. I'm wide awake. I'm completely fine. I just never was a fan of sleeping, and it's not even the fact that I just don't like it. I mean, it's just I hate going to sleep. I try to put it off as long as I can, but I've really, for the past couple of weeks, made a point to just make sure I get some sleep, at least 5 or 6 hours, because even best case, even though I'm fine and can survive and am lucid and energetic without the sleep, you know, it's not healthy for you. You need that sleep, that restorative rest, you know.
Yeah, it'll catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. But it's always been an issue with me. You know, when I was working on radio for many, many years, and my schedule was so crazy, where I'd go in at 8:30 in the morning, then I'd work till 4 o'clock, and then I was working for the Toronto Blue Jays AAA affiliate in New Hampshire. I was their on-screen host for their home games. So I'd leave the work at 4:30, go to the ballpark, which is an hour away for a pregame meeting, do the game, postgame meeting, leave, get home at midnight, go back to the radio station at midnight, go cut my overnight show, you know, get home, get about 2 hours of sleep, and start all over again. So I got in that rhythm of being able to get by with no sleep and just running on adrenaline and coffee and, you know, at the time, energy drinks. I haven't had an energy drink in probably like 4 years, but I used to survive off those. So it kind of became part of my life to the point where my body adjusted to it. But, you know, my long-term survival is dependent on sleep because it's fact. It's there's been numerous studies done that if you don't get 8 hours of sleep, your quality of life and your longevity of life, it diminishes greatly.
Yeah, I mean, because I can push myself as hard as anybody, but once a week, once every 2 weeks, it'll catch up with me.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I'm pretty weird. I don't like taking medication.
No.
I don't take drugs. I mean, I don't do anything. But like, you know, people have tried to prescribe me sleeping medicines, and I just don't want to take that kind of stuff. And I don't want to rely on that stuff to get to sleep. So it's always been like, okay, I'll just figure it out. But I've been taking melatonin lately. That's natural. Your body produces it naturally, and I find that that'll help get me some like normal sleep every once in a while. I don't like to rely on it every night, but like once a week, if I'm having trouble, I've been making a point to focus on that a little bit more and just focus on making sure I'm eating. You know, I tend to get in modes where I just you know, getting these chunks of work done, and I kind of neglect eating. So I'll eat breakfast, and then I don't eat all day, and then I'll have something at 8 o'clock at night. And just making a point to, you know, focus on my health and focus on being selfish a little bit. You know, selfish seems like a bad word, but it can also be a good word, you know, taking care of yourself and putting yourself front and center in your health, which will make everyone's life around you better, too.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah, you know, for people who are really busy, I'm going to be doing a blog. This was inspired by, you know, September. She's a team member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not quite sure how to say her last name, but she was in Mexico recently, and she wrote a really interesting post on Facebook about how she had wished she had planned better for the plane ride home. It was just a long story. It's like everything that could have gone wrong did. And she grabbed a protein bar, I think, in a store and realized it was not gluten-free and it was, you know, not the greatest. So she felt it. I mean, she really felt she – and then I think there were some flight delays and all that. And she ended up eating civilian food, you know, not healthy food. So – and I've been traveling, you know, for a long time, both when I was unhealthy and healthy. And now that I'm healthy – I just have this arsenal, you know, and it includes nuts, all kinds of nuts, a few dried fruits, dried coconut. I don't know if you guys have heard of tiger nuts.
No,
that's
I haven't.
A brand new thing that Nancy Guberti turned me onto. They're paleo, and they look like little, they look like almost like Cocoa Puffs, but they're very rock hard, and they're are like a root vegetable that people millions of years ago used to live on. Somehow they've been rediscovered and marketed, and they're loaded with fiber, and it's a great food to eat when you're stressed out and you want to just like crunch something hard, you know. It takes a long time just to eat a small handful. They're very healthy. So, and of course, healthy liquids, but all these things that would really serve a traveler very well would be perfect for somebody like you, Mike, or Robert, too, who's chained to their desk, who doesn't have a lot of time to cook, you know. They're just quick energy sources, and they can really save your ass when you're just overwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I need to find more stuff like that, like snacks, for in between my meals and stuff, because I for some reason I have a guilt thing that going on about eating between meals. I don't know. I know it's healthy to eat between meals, but I always think it's a bad decision, and I'm always too concerned about what I'm doing. And oftentimes I'll push my meals so far out that I'm ravenous by the time I get to them. So it's really great to find, you know, those kind of healthy foods that you can, you know, eat in between your meals that are, you know, legitimately healthy. I'm not talking about 100 calorie pack healthy, like what I lived off of, you know, previous diet exercise experiences. You know, they market these healthy snacks that are just full of sugar and crap, and you know, slap a healthy label on it. But it's great to find something like that truly is healthy and truly, you know, will get you through. And nuts are a great source of a snack that will fill you up on just a small amount.
Oh, absolutely. And they're long term. I mean, they're not perishable. So yeah, but eating in between meals is fine, I think, if you're genuinely hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's really about why you're eating. If you're eating because you're hungry, then that's fine. If you're eating out of you know, an emotional need or a distraction, or because, you know, you're stressed, that's different. But it's actually good, I think, to eat in between meals. I don't really do three traditional meals a day, but
yeah,
you know, you got to go by your hunger cues too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's unfortunately that's something that I do that I need to work on is I push my meals too far out. Like, you know, I'll get to the point where I'm really hungry. I actually put I don't know if you guys saw it. I put a story on my Facebook today. It was actually pretty funny. If you know me at all, you know, personally, in my own personal life, you know that I don't get worked up. I very rarely get angry. I don't get angry, and it's super rare. Like once every couple years that I'll get angry to the point where I'm yelling at somebody. Mm-hmm. I just that's not like part of me. I just don't react like that. I'm pretty cool under pressure. But a couple nights ago, I was so busy and so many things had gone wrong. It wasn't like anything big, just kind of little things that chipped away at me throughout the day. And I got in a bad mood, and Katie came home, and I was kind of grumpy to her. And I had to go to the store and get something because we had to get something for to make for dinner, and we were out of a couple things. So I went to the store, and I came home, and I got to the point where I was so hungry, and that just elevated my mood. And this is so uncharacteristic of me. Katie's probably heard me like yell in anger like twice in my life, but finally I was going to get a baking sheet out of the bottom drawer of the stove, and the drawer got jammed. And just so angry, I started yanking at it and slamming and crashing, like the pans inside were just slamming and crashing. And I let a growl out that I was so mad. And, you know, in that moment of on the brink of insanity, Katie looks at me and started laughing and just, like, making fun of me for how angry I was. And I tried to be angry and, like, retaliate, but we got to the point where I just, you know, started to break and laugh myself. And it was one of those situations where I'm like, wow. Even in my fury of anger, no one can actually take me seriously when I'm mad. I just want people to, like, take me seriously that I'm angry right now, and she's laughing at me. But that's where I get to the point where I'm that hungry that my mood is altered. I got to be better about, you know, being more on time with my meals and more structured with my timing of eating.
Well, yeah, and that's a discipline. That's definitely a discipline. But it's one worth cultivating, because they talk in, you know, in AA, you have to take precautions so you don't relapse. And one of them, you know, for I think any addictive personality, you gotta watch your triggers. So for some people it's anger, for some it's hunger, for some it's stress, you know, and you can't always control what comes at you, but you can do steps to alleviate, you know, you can alleviate anger in a healthy way, or, you know, make sure there's good food around you mm-hmm. nearby, so you're not, you know, left stranded, you know, like literally, and then you get more and more irate.
Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, that's just kind of become second nature to me, but I had to learn what my triggers are and, you know, make sure I don't set myself up for a fall.
And I talked about changing my lifestyle and making sure I'm getting more sleep. And I've been sleeping about 6 or 7 hours for the past 2 weeks, and that's really helped my sleep schedule, too. I mean, my eating schedule, too, because when you're sleeping 3 hours a night and you're up 21 hours a day, I didn't know when to eat. I didn't know when to eat. I didn't know when to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. Do I eat an extra meal? I mean, I was so confused on my eating schedule because I was up all the time. And like, what did I do? If I'm staying up that long, I'm going to be more hungry than if I'm sleeping. But it was so confusing for me that it ended up becoming almost a train wreck, my eating schedule.
Yeah, it was like you were jet lagged.
Yeah, and that's what happens with a lot of people who work nights, too. I worked nights doing the overnight shift live at a radio station when I first broke into the radio business, and I was so confused on what my eating schedule was supposed to be, because I'm going to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning and getting up at 5. Like, when do I eat breakfast? It was just so – everything was backwards and off, and it's something that people who work nights have to deal with. And I'd love to talk to someone on the radio show sometime, one of our DDP Yoga people that has a night shift, and kind of do a topic about this, because, you know, when you work the night shift, people are I think the average is people gain about 25 or 30 pounds after they start the night shift, you know, the average male, because it screws with the mentality of your eating so badly. And it's just, you know, it's so hard figuring out when the eating schedule is.
Yeah, and that's one thing if your job dictates that. But if you can control it, it's, you know, you're so much better off if you biologically, you know, follow the sun's rhythm. Get up when the sun comes up and, you know, start to wind down when it gets dark. That's just, we're meant to function that way. If you can't, then you have to really, you know, try to take extra precautions. But, mm-hmm. yeah, just doing that will really help set you in a more balanced way.
I know, Stacey, you're really well versed in the psychological eating. Is there any kind of pattern, like, you know, an ideal eating pattern that you should follow to be at your ideal health? Because, you know, I know some people, you know, skip breakfast, eat lunch, and, you know, but, like, you know, time-wise, is there supposed to be, like, an amount of time in between each meals, or is the, you know, idealistic, you know, 7 a.m. breakfast, noon, lunch, 5:30 dinner that, you know, the most of the America dictates, is that supposed to be natural, or?
I really don't have an answer. There are so many theories on this. I mean, I've heard some people who are really into, you know, holistic health say, you know, wait 7 hours. That's just not practical. Mm-hmm. 7 hours to, you know, fully digest a meal. Again, I think you have to listen to your body and hunger cues. The only real firm rule that I live by in terms of, you know, timing and all that is I do fruit on an empty stomach in the morning. And I usually wait about at least a half an hour before I start putting protein and other stuff on top of it. And that works really well for me. And I would say I food combine about 80% of the time. I usually don't combine proteins and carbs because I feel better and I can feel my digestion working better when I do it this way. Mm-hmm. But I think we're meant to have a little respite. You know, we're not meant, some people who eat unconsciously, there's always food going down the hatch and your digestion doesn't get a rest. There is meant to be a rest period because it takes a lot of time and energy to digest food. So, I mean, you know, like I said, listen to your body's hunger. If you're stuffed and satisfied, take a break, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Robert what he thinks, because I know all three of us work from home. And, you know, we talk about, you know, hunger and following your hunger cues. And I remember back in the day when I, you know, joined these weight programs or research weight loss that I, you know, fluctuated on several different times. I was never a water drinker. I couldn't even, like, you know, drink a water without having it, like, you know, make me gag. I just couldn't do it. And now water is all I drink, and I actually love it when I drink it. But they always tell people, you know, make sure you're not dehydrated and thirsty. Make sure you're actually hungry. And I kind of, like, thought that was some kind of BS, just like, oh, yeah. You know, people tell you, you know, advice that, you know, some people have solutions to problems, and I had problems for every solution. I found a flaw in whatever anyone was going to tell me. But when I got to the point where I actually did hydrate myself, when I realized I was hungry, I drank a 24-ounce bottle of water, and, you know, wow, it actually worked. I know Robert and Stacey work from home, and we have the ability where we don't have to, you know, clock out for a lunch break. You know, I could go to the kitchen every 10 minutes and grab something to eat if I wanted to. How do you monitor, you know, trying to keep away from the kitchen and not snack unconsciously throughout the day when we have the ability to do just that?
Well, I have four specific times I eat. You know, my days begin and end on different times. So, but generally, I'll have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then I usually have something like a small sandwich or something before I go to sleep, just to, so I don't get, you know, because I'm usually hungry already because I stay up so late. But I'll eat it those four times. And other than that, I don't really. That's it. I don't snack that much. So it's just the absence of snacking really that keeps me away from it.
And Stacey, what about you? How do you regulate your ability to, you know, eat whatever you want all day long?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. And I go to the kitchen. I have an office that's upstairs and away from the kitchen. So when it's mealtime, I will go to the kitchen, or if I'm hungry, you know, in between meals, and have the meal there. And I try to do it, you know, I do it very consciously, but I'm not one of those overly rigid, you know, like I have to be seated. I eat most of the time standing up, but I eat, you know, very much with awareness. So I'm not just rushing through it and trance eating. And, you know, if I have those days where it's like, wow, I'm bored or I'm frustrated and let's go down and see what looks good, that's when I have to, because I'm an emotional eater, and that's when I have to really very gently and non-scoldingly, because that doesn't get me anywhere, talk to myself and just say, what's going on? You know, what are you really hungry for? What's bothering you? You know, I go through a little checklist. and sort of counsel myself, because I really don't want to, you know, lapse back into unconscious eating. That's just, you know, one thing leads to another. So I have learned how to nip it in the bud, and I know when I'm about to do it. I know I have that mindset, you know, where I'm feeling empty or I'm feeling frustrated. And I just deal with it in other ways. But it's a very gentle, kind process.
That's a great point about the conscious eating. And self-admittedly, I am the ultimate impulse eater. I will be doing amazing and something will pop into my mind and I will run to the fridge and grab it. To the point where I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life, you know, through that mentality. And about 6 months ago, Katie put something on our refrigerator for me. It's a little postcard, and she, you know, she's good with her art. She's a good, like, artist and stuff. And she drew, like, this, like, colorful little sign and put it at eye level. It says, stop, period, think, period. And whenever I go to the refrigerator, that impulsive action of mine, I just go and grab something. And just having that postcard at eye level on the fridge, you know, the colorfully catches my eye to the point where I look at it and I take a breath and I stop for a minute and then I ask myself, do I really need this? Do I really want this? And just that short break, you think it sounds like bullshit kind of, but just that short break and me analyzing the situation and analyzing the progress that I'm hoping to make and the things I'm trying to get out of this journey. And then I weigh it against the whatever I'm about to grab in the refrigerator. It's enough to, more often than not, lead me to make a better choice.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And yeah, it's like all three of us have, you know, we have our own ways of you know, enacting discipline. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little bit of discipline.
And I was going to ask Stacey, because I know you study all this stuff very... very regularly, and Robert mentioned having a sandwich before he goes to bed, and the health community usually always says you don't want to eat such and such before you go to bed, but I also always grab a little something before I go to bed. As long as I can remember, I have been a sleep eater. This sounds like completely bizarre, but I will get up in the middle of the night, I'm semi-conscious, but usually don't even remember any of it, and will grab food. When I first got a roommate, after I moved out of my parents' house out of high school, my roommate would catch me and I'm asleep there cooking, you know, a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese on the stove in my sleep, and it became a real issue. And I find that if I don't eat something before I go to bed, I'll just like kind of unconsciously go to the refrigerator and grab something, to the point where Katie will have something for work that's off limits that I know I can't have. But in my sleep, I will go and grab it, and it's a problem for me.
Jeez, a padlock.
it is. Wow. It's a legit sleep disorder, because I've studied sleep disorders, you know, in college and stuff like that. But sleep eating is a real it's a legit issue, and it's something I've dealt with for a long time, and at times has seriously hampered my progress. There was times where I had to account for how much I was going to eat it after I went to bed. Into my day to make sure I wasn't going over my calories.
Do you think there's any corollary to going to bed hungry? Do you sometimes do that?
I do, and that's what I was saying. I usually find that if I can, you know, have something before I go to bed, it kind of diminishes the chances of me waking up in the middle of the night. But it's a bizarre scenario. Katie will catch me and walk in. And she'll have a conversation with me like I'm wide awake, you know, I'm completely with it, but I won't remember a fraction of it the next morning.
Huh. Yeah, I tend to eat a little something before bed. I don't like going to bed hungry either. And usually for me it'll be either a clean dessert, you know, with some almond milk, like a piece of lentil cake or something healthy, or a protein drink, because that's very sustaining. And then, you know, I figure it's working on my muscles and all kinds of stuff while I sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the scientific community has kind of come out in different points of time saying, you know, that you shouldn't eat before bed, maybe you can have this before bed, you should eat, you know. There's so much data and it's constantly evolving that it's kind of hard to keep up with it. But I guess do what works for you, as long as you're, you know, making your progress and hit your goals and – you know, living life the way you want to live. I guess do it your own way, because, you know, science is gonna tell us so many different things, but really it has to, like, cater to our lives and make sure our lives are working for us. So if you're happy, have a sandwich before you go to bed, like Robert, or have, like, a snack before you go to bed, like Stacy and myself.
Yeah, and go ahead, Robert.
For me, if I don't eat, I start to get, you know, lightheaded, I start to get dizzy and things like that. So yeah. When I know I'm going to be sleeping for 7 or 8 hours and I'm hungry, I need to grab something.
Oh, yeah. Some people have those issues, and that's really important to, then you have to feed yourself because you don't want to get lightheaded.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the whole, you know, the whole mantra of DDP yoga to begin with. You know what you're supposed to do. You know how to eat healthy. I think we all at this point know what's healthy and what's not healthy. But in the grand scheme of things, you got to do what works for you. You got to make it your own. You know, you probably don't want to eat a tray of brownies every night. But if you're at a party and you feel the need, you know, that you want to eat this and it's worth it to you. You analyze the situation. You just recover the next day. You got to make it your own. You got to live your life the way it works for you. And you got to set yourself up for success. And that's what we do here at DDP Yoga. We all have individual journeys. We have individual wirings in our neurological, you know, system. And we're all individuals. And some things that work for Stacy aren't going to work for me. Some things that work for me aren't going to work for Robert. So kind of just, you know, find what works for you. And as long as you're happy and making progress, go for it.
Yeah, and take the time. And I don't know, I have to come up with a word for it. But it's like, you know how you childproof your home?
Mm-hmm.
To make it a safer place. I had to do something similar to my home, but to fall in line, to protect myself from my binge eating tendencies, you know, and that really includes total preparedness. Have foods ready to roll, you know, that don't have to be cooked, that can nourish you and, you know, make you feel good, too.
Absolutely. You know, you called it childproof in the home. I had to do, you know, I like that. I think we all do that when we first, you know, start something. You know, Dallas calls it the pantry raid. But I mean, I do the same thing. I have to keep foods in my house, you know, and account for my sleep eating. You know, if I get up and I'm sleep eating and all we have is apples and bananas or whatever, you know, it's better that I have that than I have a box of, Keebler cookies instead. So, you know, set yourself up for success. Know your weaknesses, know your shortcomings, and set yourself up to be prepared for that kind of situation. I personally, and this isn't something I'm proud of, but one of my biggest problems is when I have a lot of food in the house, I tend to eat a lot of food. If I have a full cupboard, I eat a lot of food. So to kind of combat that, I kind of get meals for like 2 days in advance. I'll get stuff to make dinner and, you know, for lunch and stuff. And then I'll go to the store every couple of days because I don't do well with a full pantry. So I kind of have to set myself up to kind of, you know, live the way that works for me.
Absolutely. It's, you know, your, like I said, know your triggers. And speaking of triggers, we have Halloween upon us. And,
yes.
You know, that's a hard one to get through in a completely healthy way. But there are healthier candies out there. Some are better than others. And we did a whole show on this. If anyone wants to check the archives last year with Nancy Guberti, she gave some brands that are, some of them are organic and don't have corn syrup and they're GMO-free and all that. There's a one in particular called Yummy Earth. And it might not be something you can pass out to the whole neighborhood because they are expensive, but you can have it at home and give it to your kids and enjoy it yourselves if you want to. And also a great rule of thumb is quality dark chocolate, like Hershey's. It doesn't have to be super expensive, but they make a dark version, and darker chocolate's healthier. So there are little precautions you can take. You don't have to succumb to, you know, the inexpensive crap that's just so loaded with, it's got so much sugar and, you know, chemicals, and it's just, you know, it's going to give you a hangover. So if you want to cut back on it, there are healthier options out there.
And we spoke of the Halloween candy and stuff, which is a big trigger for a lot of people, especially people who have kids or are welcoming trick-or-treaters. And for the adult Halloweener, a lot of people, you know, go out or have some cocktails or enjoy some drinks with friends and dress up and have a good time, and which I completely go for it. If you want to go out and have a good time, that's awesome. Me personally, drinking's never been my thing. It just never was a big deal to me. I do drink. I have nothing against it, but I'm not a regular drinker. But I was looking at Christina Russell's page the other day, and she had mentioned something called organic cucumber vodka, and they have cucumber gin and versions of organic cocktails and liquors. So if you guys want to go on Christina's Body Rebooted page, she had them on there, which may be a great alternative to the calorically dense liquors that you have available to you.
Oh, cool. That's a great idea.
Yes, and where are we at for time, Robert?
Yeah, we are, but you should really open your notes. That would help you a lot. yeah, it's about time to wrap it up.
All right. It's about time to wrap it up, as Robert said. And next week, I think Stacy has us booked with Nancy Gioberti. She was supposed to be on with us this week, but unfortunately our schedules didn't mix up properly. We have Nancy on next week, right, Stacy?
Well, that might be up in the air, because next week I'll be up in the air, literally. I'll be on a plane back from Atlanta.
Oh!
And on Tuesday. We might do a community show, or you could come up with a topic. I'm not quite sure what next week's going to be about.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. Robert and I will have Boys Night on DDP Radio. The babysitter's off the campus, so I'm sure hell will break loose. Robert and I will discuss our Halloweens and all that fun stuff. But if you guys are going out for Halloween, please, please, please be safe. Don't drink. Don't drive. Don't be an idiot. You know what's right. You know what to do. And if you're going to be eating, ridiculous amounts of food, and if that's something you feel you owe yourself or you're compelled to do, make sure you want it. Make sure it's important to you. Accept it. Move on. So many times when we have these holidays and we have a tough day or, choose the wrong foods, we kind of recover by eating more crap and kind of falling into a rut. I know Stacy, we both have, been serial dieters, and usually a big holiday like this will sometimes lead into a bit of a catastrophic couple months.
Yeah.
So if you are going out for Halloween, oh, sorry, Stace.
No, we don't want that happening. It's about awareness, and don't be too strict. You got to walk down the middle, and a little discipline goes a long way, but don't be hard on yourself either.
Yes, and make sure to forgive yourself. Whatever you do on October 31st, it's one day. That's November 1st is a new day. Forgive yourself, move on, and continue making progress. And I've very seldom ever seen somebody completely blow their week from one day. So move on, forgive yourself, happy Halloween. Remember, be safe, don't drink and drive, be responsible, all that stuff. Uncle Mike says so. Until next week, for Robert McLaren, for Stacy Morris, thank you guys for listening. DDP Radio is live every week at ddpradio.com and available on iTunes. We will see you until then. Happy Halloween, and never, ever, ever give up.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Oh! Diamond Cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.